This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, some more is coming out about this Tiger Woods thing. You heard about that. Tiger Woods told authorities, this according to ESPN, that he was looking down at his phone and changing the radio station before his rollover crash last week in Florida. So he's looking down at his phone and changing the radio station. Was he changing it on his phone? Like, was he changing the app that he was listening to? Or was he... That's a lot. Normally, I'm not looking at my phone and changing the radio station. I'm just throwing it out there. We're trying to play investigative reporter here, Mike. He was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence last Friday, after his Land Rover clipped a truck and rolled onto its side near his home on Jupiter Island in Florida. What do they always say? Accidents always happen closer to home for some reason? I'm not sure why that is. You're in a hurry? You're almost there? You start to relax? Maybe you put your guard down? I'm not sure. According to the affidavit obtained Tuesday by ESPN, Tiger Woods told Martin County Sheriff investigators that he didn't realize the truck in front of him had slowed down. A Martin County sheriff deputy noticed that Woods had bloodshot and glassy eyes and extremely dilated pupils. According to the affidavit, he did perform a field sobriety exercise, which I am told they didn't smell alcohol on him, or I'm not told, I read. But he was sweating profusely and was lethargic and slow. There were two hydrocodone pills found in Woods' pants pocket, the affidavit said. So, he was asked if he had taken any prescription medication. Woods replied, "I take a few." According to the affidavit, Woods added that he took that medicine earlier in the morning. Man, when Tiger Woods has something go wrong, it really goes wrong. And we'll see what more comes out of this, but are you buying the whole, "I was looking down at my radio and my phone"? Like, it's one of those where they tell too much, give you too much information.
I would like Tiger Woods to tattoo "Don't talk to the cops" on his arm. Like, I feel like he's giving away a bunch of information, and a lot of it sounds like false information.
I mean, you can not talk to the cops all you want, but when they find drugs in your pocket, it doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, but he's like, "No, I didn't do this. No, I didn't do this. No, I didn't do it." You're compounding on the lie.
Well, he said he didn't drink. And he passed the sobriety test, to my knowledge. And then he said that his eyes were dilated and all that stuff, and his pupils were dilated, and he was sweating profusely. I don't know. It's a weird story, man. And it's a flashback to what happened many, many years ago. And how did that story go? It just kept unraveling, and then we finally got the voicemails and all that. And I don't know if it's going to get to that point, but we'll see. Baltimore Ravens team president Sashi Brown said Monday that the rescinding of the Max Crosby trade won't negatively affect the team's reputation, chalking up the criticism to a slow news cycle. No, that would have probably beat out most of the news, Mike, that Max Crosby blockbuster trade was rescinded. That would have... I don't know. What's the bigger story, Tiger Woods or Max Crosby trade getting rescinded?
You know, I'm a football fan, so
yeah,
I'd say Max Crosby.
Because Tiger Woods
but...
has already done this, and he's not really in the limelight anymore. I mean, he's still Tiger Woods, but I mean, that's a pretty significant story. What's bigger, Max Crosby trade getting rescinded or NBA gambling scandal that happened earlier in the season?
NBA gambling.
That went away
in
2 weeks.
It did go away quickly, but NBA gambling was really huge for the 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it went away fast. The Max Crosby thing I don't think went away fast. I still don't think it's gone away. That's
and
a big
I don't
story.
Blame the Ravens necessarily for that. I mean, maybe they should have prepared a little better.
I blame the Ravens because the Raiders were already making deals. And was that unwise for Las Vegas to go ahead and start paying dudes left and right, assuming that Crosby was gone? But it was one of those Jerry Maguire, my word is stronger than oak things. And then they signed in the lobby while Jerry Maguire was off talking to Cuba Gooding Jr. Dad said he doesn't sign contracts, but his word's stronger than oak. Mike shakes Jerry's hand. It's the best handshake I've ever seen in cinema. Seriously, the best handshake that's ever... I dare you to find a better handshake than that handshake between Jonathan Cushman's dad and Jerry Maguire when he said, "I'm not one for contracts, you know that, Jerry, but my word is stronger than oak." Shakes his hand, and Jerry thinks he's got his guy.
Well, unfortunately, he wasn't the hero of the movie.
Correct, but it doesn't. Okay, what point are you trying to?
I don't know.
Okay, thanks. It's been a long day for you already.
He wanted to go to Denver, but the other Bob Sugar doesn't deal with Denver.
No, Bob Sugar deals with Denver. Jerry said he deals with Denver, but he was getting better offers. Bob Sugar ended up getting him to Denver. Mike, we're gonna have to review that movie
He sat behind John Elway.
Jerry
and did nothing.
Actually grabbed Jonathan Cushman's dad by the shoulders and said, "You okay? Fine. This went south. Okay, I know you said you're going with Cushman, but you want Denver. I'll get with Denver. I'll get them. We'll get you Denver. Just tell me you didn't sign anything. Tell me you didn't sign." And then he looked.
I signed
in,
while
looked
you
in,
were with Cuba you, Gooding Jr.
Yes, but he was kind of racist about it. And then he said, "I signed to an hour ago while you were in the lobby with Cuba Gooding Jr."
That's not a direct quote.
No, it's not. But that's how it went. We do have a direct quote here. The Chicago Bulls waived guard Jaden Ivey for what they're saying is conduct detrimental to the team. Hours after he posted a lengthy video rant on social media about religion and other topics that included anti-gay sentiments. Michael, let's play that first clip that they got a hold of that was on his Instagram. Ivy went live on his Instagram account, and he has been going live quite frequently. Here's what he had to say.
The world can proclaim LGBTQ. Right? They proclaim Pride Month in the NBA. They proclaim it. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride Month, to celebrate unrighteousness. They proclaim it. They proclaim it on the billboards. They proclaim it in the streets. Unrighteousness. So how is it that one can't speak righteousness? How is it one that how are they to say that you man, this man is crazy?
I'm not the J I used to be, but the old J is dead. I'm alive in Christ. No matter what the basketball setting is, I'm born again, the Holy Spirit. And I've been saved by Jesus Christ. No matter what, how many DMPs I don't get to play, or no matter how many points I score, those things are a temporary thing.
Okay. Obviously, a lot was said there, Mike. Now that was the first thing he said, and then the Bulls took that and they waived Jaden Ivey. Now, obviously, the NBA. Really, they have a lot of ties to the LGBTQ, and they do pride nights, as most leagues, quite a bit of leagues do. And this gets controversial occasionally where you get a random player that's like, yeah, I'm not going to participate in that, and it's controversial.
One of the Dodgers get upset?
Yeah, and I think there's been a couple hockey guys too. So I want your thoughts on this, Holigans. This is a heavy, heavy conversation, a jam-packed, heavy conversation to have. Here's what, he gets waived from the Bulls, and then he doubles down. And this is where I really get to have some issues here. He brings Steph Curry into this conversation. Here he is.
That's why you got Steph Curry, and he not even surrendered. And y'all believe he's a Christian. Y'all believe he's a Christian because he wrote Philippians 4:13. Y'all think he's a Christian. But he cursing just like the world.
We are now about ready to go, so please take your seat, your seat.
Friendship with the world is enmity with God. He's friendship with the world. He don't know Jesus. And I pray he comes to the truth. That him and his family would be saved in Jesus' name. Because all that stuff is not going to matter on Judgment Day. All them rings he got.
I'll buy it, yes.
All them rings LeBron got. All them rings Michael Jordan got.
Okay, so now here's where I, like, I've always, and I'm what you call like a practicing Christian, man, because I screw up on the daily. But I do know one thing. I try not to get into this point of like, I'm going to say you're going to hell. Like, I've been taught you, that's not my job to do that, right? If you're a believer, you don't get to be that person that goes out and dishes punishment. You're flesh and blood, man. You don't get that power to say that if you believe this. So a lot of his stuff got really watered down, I believe, when you start throwing out random names and basically pointing to that person and saying he's not living right. He's not right. He's not right with Jesus. You might think that stuff. But it's not really our job to get up and say that kind of thing. Yet, I had a pastor once said, because he was asked these questions, like, what do you do with people that come to your church that are not aligned with the values that you're preaching? You know what he always said? He said, you love them anyway. You bring them in. You love them. You have these conversations. You tell them where you are, and you have these intimate conversations, and you keep preaching what you're preaching. And if they want to keep coming to your church and listen to your gospel, then so be it. The more it unravels, it's tough. Now, I also find it interesting because you hear Steve Kerr get on and he says a lot of damning things politically. He does attack typically one side of the aisle. I think it was several weeks ago he had made a claim, Michael, and I don't have it in front of me. He had made a claim about ICE arresting this number of innocent people. He actually came out weeks later and apologized. He didn't necessarily apologize, but he did say he misspoke. He shouldn't have said it like that. I mean, Mike, wouldn't you agree that that's kind of a damning conversation to have, to basically say that these agents that are ICE agents that are out there doing these things, and you're flat out saying they're arresting innocent people out there on the daily. Then he comes back and admits, okay, I misspoke. I don't have all those facts in front of me, but I know they're not right, or whatever. I just find it fascinating because the NBA didn't act at all with Steve Kerr. And I find his statement, what that statement that he made, very divisive. Because it only enrages another side, and it only emboldens the other. And so I just found that fascinating. Am I sticking up for Jaden Ivey for those comments? No. I mean, he just keeps preaching unrighteousness, unrighteousness, unrighteousness. That's not a way to get anybody to come over to your side of the table and have a conversation with you. That is a very uninviting way to portray any type of person, right? Could you agree on that?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go to his church ever. I have family members who believe that being a homosexual is a sin. I have family members who go to church with homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what would he think about either side? Like, who would he say is the sinner?
Yeah, like
they both go to church. They both believe in God and worship Jesus. Like, who?
If you get
I just
up
don't
and you
see the like.
Yeah. If you get up and you like, you curse. That's a sin, right? So technically,
oh, I know plenty of people that go to church and curse.
That's what I'm saying, though. You curse, you've sinned. You're unrighteous. If you're following the same book that I'm following. So we're all, and maybe he's got this squeaky clean, he's never done anything wrong ever, and he's just perfect. But even he admitted that he was a different, he's a reborn guy. He's changed. I just find those kind of dialogues, I'll tell you this. Some of the pastors that I have come to really respect that are at the church that we go to, not as much now because my kid doesn't go, but it's kind of hard to sit down. But we used to go to Timberline Church. I've never heard a pastor say anything even remotely close to that. Even remotely close to that. It's all love, man. And that kind of chat, to me, is really dangerous. I also think, because I keep seeing these comparisons online, the reason I bring the Steve Kerr thing up, because that is the direct comparison that's going on today, is like, wait a second, this player gets waived, basically kicked off the team for doing something detrimental to the league, and you do have a head coach of an organization who came out later and admitted that he was wrong in saying certain things about ICE agents, and I don't follow the political landscape closely. I'm just telling you what I heard. Steve Kerr came back himself and said, yeah, I misspoke. I didn't have all the facts in front of me at that moment. I was wrong.
Sounds like he was told to apologize.
Correct. Why didn't Jaden Ivey get that same? Did he get that same? Maybe he did. Maybe he was told, hey, you need to go on and make that right, and he refused to do it, and they waived him. But the video came out pretty quickly, and then he was waived. If he was given that same, hey, you better come out and apologize, man. You're throwing out lies, and you admitted it's a lie. You have to come out and admit that wasn't a, you know, you weren't reading that in a news story. You were just creating your own kind of political point, and you were using dangerous words and accusations to create your political point. I'm not saying Steve Kerr's wrong about everything, but there are a lot of people that are making these direct comparisons between the two. You have one saying that Pride Month is, you know, celebrating Pride Month is unrighteousness several times over, which is divisive, and it's not really the gospel that I'm familiar with as just far as ranting and raving on that stuff. But you also have another man who's a head coach of an organization, highly decorated coach of an organization, that's throwing out some pretty dangerous accusations that, again, like I said, can light both sides on fire. Big Hub says, I don't know what Buddy is talking about. At this point, he should want nothing blasted around athletics. So why is he doing this? I don't know why he's... I don't know. I mean, he's been more vocal. Everything I've read, he's been more vocal. Maybe he recently became saved or he was baptized again and he's doubling down and he's now saying that's his mission, which is more important. Which, again, if you are a follower of Jesus, and you, I'm not trying to make this like a religious segment here. You obviously do believe that your religion is more important than everything else. Everything is second. But there are ways to go about it. There's a great author that I've read several of his books, and he actually spoke at a church once, and he was talking about hinge moments. And it was about, I'm not going to get on social media and just start preaching to you this damnation and all this stuff and unrighteousness and all whatever you believe. I'm going to talk to you about, we're going to sit down, we're going to have great conversations. You are a part of these hinge moments all the time, Michael. We have pastors that come into this radio station and record sermons. Pastors who I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't side with 100%. But you guys have these...
They're Lutherans, and I like to give them a hard time for being Lutheran.
But you have these amazing conversations with them, do you not?
Yeah, it's fun.
And they're very... They bring you presents. They bring you donuts. Trying
yes,
to get
I am
that
very
to
much
stop.
Loved.
But you have these great conversations. Has it changed your point of view? Probably not. But it has also shown you that, hey, this pastor knows that I disagree with him wholeheartedly, and yet he still takes the time to have conversations with me. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we have all sorts of conversations about politics and religion.
So this
and,
is what I'm saying. Like, this kind of video, it
doesn't open up the door for conversation.
Open up doors. And that's when I first saw this, and I was like, man, that is just not, that is not the way I would go about it.
And it drives people away from your cause. If you're someone who's teetering on the fence of religion, am I going to join the church? Am I going to leave the church? You're leaving. You're not joining. Like, this guy's only doing himself a disservice.
I agree. You know, let me ask you this question. If Steph Curry had come out and said this exact same thing, would the Golden State Warriors have waived him?
No, absolutely not.
See, and that's a problem.
Yeah. So it all has to do with how popular of a player you are. Personally, if I'm the owner, I don't know if I fire or waive either guy, because I don't care as much about, like, might go on Twitter and say, yeah, this guy's an idiot and saying stuff that we don't care about.
Yeah, but you're employing him. You can't just get on and say he's an idiot. No. You're writing him a check. So in a weird roundabout way, you're saying that his stuff is not bad enough for you to stop writing him a check. And that would be a big problem for a lot of people, especially groups that really like to get out and about and protest.
It's a tough thing because being punished for their stupid speech, like, I feel like trying to educate them is better than getting rid of them.
Maybe that happened. We don't know that just yet. Faith texting, and I'll be very careful in saying this. They want separation of church and state, but force things like this, in this case, on players. If it's not something they believe in, they should have the same right just as someone who does believe in something, no matter what it is. That becomes the problem when these sports teams take on supporting political and belief systems with making players wear shirts and patches on their clothes. Do they consider the players' personal beliefs or force them to believe what the league wants to align with? That's a great, great text. We just need to love, and judgment is not our job. Now there should be a line drawn in what the league forces players and coaches to advertise. You don't need to agree, but respect is the key. And part of that, too, is these players are told this is what we're celebrating. We are going to have these types of nights, depending on whatever political affiliation you have. And you don't. It's hard because you're telling them that's the company line. We all came out. They're not gonna stand for the national anthem anymore. There might be players on that team that say, actually, I believe in that. I would like to do that still. But if they do, now they're the bad guy, even though they've all been doing it for so long. But because now the company line says we're not doing that anymore, you're a bad guy if you do it. Wait, we were doing it 5 years ago. 5 years ago, all of us were doing it, and all of us would probably get in trouble if we didn't do it.
It should be voluntary.
It should be voluntary either way.
Yeah.
But you and I both know it wasn't. When there were certain players that still came out and stood, those were the ones that were
picked.
Who
was the Nugget player that kind of started it back in the 90s?
Abdul Rauf, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I remember that being a huge controversy. I just don't care as much. Like, it's your free speech. You should be allowed to do it. I would tell them, like, don't do it in the building. I can understand
he did it on his social media page, though. He didn't do it in the building. He did it on his social media page. I don't know where he was when he did it, but he put it on his social media page.
If you put it on your social media page, that's your social. To me, it's not bad enough to fire someone. It just is not.
So you wouldn't have fired Jaden Ivey. He'd still be on your basketball team.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
I would have given it a little more time.
It really is. You kind of have to dance around this.
I would have given it a little more time than what. I mean, this was pretty quick. It was here's the comments and bam, the Bulls waived him. Now this is a guy that's in his career averaged 15 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game. But his numbers this year were he was averaging 11.5 points per game. Still decent. It's a tough line. Faith's 100% right. When you are a league and you do decide these are going to be political or religious or sexual orientation type of promotions were willing to do, then, you know, like Adam Silver stood up and got rid of the, what was it, the Miami Heat that did the Magic City thing for the, you know, promoting the strip club, and then he said no to that. Because he's looking at it saying that, well, that will align us with that way of thinking, that way of life, I suppose. But for this player to come out and use those types of words, like those people that he's talking about are lesser than, I think that's when you get into the weeds of this conversation. Because that's how I felt he was portraying this, was you're lesser than if you're doing this and if you're promoting this.
And ultimately, I think the lesson of the day is, why are we celebrating groups when we're all human beings and all Americans? We should just be respectful.
Yeah, I'm not a big, like, parade guy, unless it's for a championship.
Oh, yes. Celebrate the Broncos.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Stop. I have to slap you on the wrist once in a while, Mike. I'm just not big into... I mean, you're not going to see me protesting. Yeah, I just either side of it. You're just not going to see it from me. I mean, I drive by with my autistic child, and he's having one of his moments in the car, and we drive by to get him some nuggets to calm him down, and I see, you know, 400 people with these picket signs screaming at each other. I'm like, man, we got to take care of this boy. You know, we got this, and I got to go to work, and we got to deal with this stuff. So you're just not going to see me in that world. And obviously some people do it in a really respectful way, and some people do it in a very cartoonish way. And it can I always say this every time we drive by protesters, and this goes for both sides, Mike. I always say to my wife, oh, good, the side that agrees with them will continue to agree with them, and the side that doesn't agree with them is pissed off that they're out there standing with a sign. They've literally changed no minds. You change minds with hinge moments. Sitting down, having a cup of coffee with someone. This is why I had so much respect for former Bronco player Brandon Marshall. Not the receiver, but the linebacker. It was all this cop protest stuff, right? And what did Brandon Marshall go do? He was part of it. He was part of kneeling and all that stuff. A police officer reached out to him and said, would you like to go on a ride-along with us? We would love to be able to take you through our night and our journey so you can better understand what we go through. And we would love to hear your side of it, why it is you feel this way, why it is you're kneeling, and why it is you're protesting, you know, I guess police brutality is what the protest was. And they came out of that with very good conversation, very good conversation. And that's the kind of stuff that moves mountains. These declarative speeches on your Instagram account that are into no one in particular and using trigger word. I hate to use the word trigger because I don't like that. But you use language that's not really inviting. It's only going to separate further.
It makes you feel good about yourself. Look what I'm doing. Look how good of a person I am.
Yeah. It's the ones that will invite those moments of conversation and doing what he's doing and then doubling down on it, basically attacking Steph Curry and calling out his belief and how he's doing it wrong. That's when you lose everything, man. So was Chicago right to do this? I'm kind of opposite with you, Mike. I'm probably sitting down saying, man, you got to come out and say something because you can't just throw it out there like that. I appreciate your beliefs and everything, but maybe they did and maybe they didn't. And maybe he refused to do that. And that's why they decided to move on, but it all happened rather quickly. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. After you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into the Hull Show. Okay, we can move on from that conversation. It's always fun and uncomfortable, but I think you can get to good chats about it if you just kind of sit down and stop screaming at each other. How about this one? I talked about this morning. I'm turning on ESPN, and according to ESPN, it's a three horse race for the MVP, and it's not Joker, dude. They go out of their way. Like Joker's not winning it. It's going to be Shea. Or it's going to be Wimby. Joker's not winning the MVP. But to say that he's... If you go look at the NBA Kia MVP race, it goes Wimby, Shea, and Joker, then Luka. On ESPN this morning, Joker was completely left out of the conversation. Who should win the MVP? And it's between Wimby, Shea, and Luka.
Well, if Joker's not going to win it, then why mention his name?
Well, if Luka's not going to win it, why mention his name? He's fourth on the... You understand. 1 through 4, Joker's above him. In the people that decide on this, Joker's above him. So he would then have more reason to be talked about winning the MVP than Luka Doncic, correct? Or am I in some different planet now where we go...
No, they're not even talking about number three.
We're
not even talking about
first, second, and fourth. We skip over third. It's a four-horse race. But they I'm telling you, man...
They're not talking about bronze. They're talking about copper now.
They're skipping over number three.
Silver and copper.
I'm going to read you some numbers. You tell me who's better. I want you to follow me here on this, Mike. Follow me here. Okay. You got one guy who's averaging 24 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, not good enough on assists to even register here, 3.1 blocks per game. Okay? You got that number? One guy averaging 24 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 3 blocks per game. You got it? The next guy is averaging 31 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, and 6 assists per game. You with me?
Yes.
This other guy, 27 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists per game.
I mean, that third guy sounds pretty freaking amazing.
Whose numbers are better?
I feel like it's Jokic.
Up and down the board, whose numbers are better?
Sounds like Jokic to me. I feel like this is a trick question. You're giving me Jokic.
The fourth guy is 33 points, 7 rebounds, 7.8 rebounds, and 8.3 assists. Now, Victor Wembanyama is the favorite to win MVP. That was the first numbers I gave you. 24 points per game and 11 rebounds. Joker has more points than him per game and more rebounds than him per game and more assists than him per game. Shea has more points than all of them. Luka has more points than all of them. Shea's next with the assists and rebounds. Now, I also get it. OKC's number one seed, Spurs number two, or maybe interchangeable. The Lakers are three. The Nuggets are four. But that's not always how we decide who the MVP is. It's not like the Conference Player of the Year award where you look at their records first. This isn't typically how this goes. If you're a playoff team. And you have big numbers like that, you're in the running to win an MVP award.
I mean, also, you could look at the overall points, because wasn't Jokic out for a long time?
Yeah.
So his overall
so
points...
So was Shea, though. So was Shea. And I Wimby see. Doesn't play as many minutes as either one of these dudes plays. Probably because they blow out a lot of teams. I'm just saying, if we're gonna look at the stats, if you just want to look at the stats, Joker... up and down the board, has better numbers than everybody on the list. Is Joker a worse defensive player than Shea? Not necessarily. Than Luka? No. Victor's the defensive. He's the better defender out of four of them. I'll give you that. I'm not going to be upset if Wimby wins it. I'm just saying, to ignore him completely in this race is another ridiculous chapter in the Nikola Jokic book, the other book that's probably going to come out.
I wish Wimby was a fat guy so we could say, hefty, 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 Wimby, Wimby, Wimby.
And on that note, we'll jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yes, HVAC guy, yes. Mikey actually did just do the hefty trash bag commercial. He did. That did not go unnoticed.
You're welcome, America.
No, that was not good.
It was great.
Yeah, but you had to say, I wish he was chunky so we could use that. He's not, so you can't. So it wasn't clever. You had to reach for that, Mike. You had to reach for it. He's the opposite of chunky. He's like the skinniest guy in the league.
Yeah, but I wish.
Right. It didn't work.
I was wishing so we could use it.
Eastside Chris, Michael, I love watching Wemby play basketball. Also like watching the... okay. Sorry, like, what? Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go there.
I don't have access to that. Maybe we should talk about that during the break.
Yeah, we could talk about that during the break. All right, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post. Should the Avalanche give Jared Bednar a contract extension sooner rather than later? Or are you waiting until you see what he can do in the playoffs? Is there pressure for Jared Bednar? Again, like there was when the Avs won a Stanley Cup. We'll talk about it all coming up. It's the whole show. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
McKinnon, Jokic, Makar, Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Don't do it again. He has a donut now. What is that, a cookie?
It's not a donut. It's a cookie.
Are we going to do this again, really? Have you not learned your lesson?
Do what again?
Your own rules, Mike. Your own rules tell you not to do what you're doing. It is the most annoying thing in the world. It's like watching the Discovery Channel. Back here. All right, coming up next, Sean Keeler. Is Jared Bednar, we got the pressure cooker coming up. Is Sean Keeler putting Jared Bednar in his own version of the pressure cooker? We'll talk about that coming up. Also, Greg Penner, is he now the GM? Or does he really want to give a contract extension to the current GM? And was it Sean Payton's decision to make Davis Webb the play caller or Greg Penner's? We'll talk about it all coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.